I have been meditating on several things over the past few weeks, and one of those is I'm blown away. I'm baffled. I'm astounded and amazed, all at the same time, that God of the universe loves me. I'm blown away. I'm still blown away. It gets bigger. It gets bigger and bigger. Wow. And you know, the Bible says God is not a respecter of persons, plays no favorites, none. Zippo. And he loves all of us. Exactly the same. Pretty awesome, huh? Hallelujah. Well, let's get in the Word, shall we? Thank you, Lord. I believe the Lord's going to continue, or is continuing to work. He's continuing to move and do for the people he loves.
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you a synopsis. I started a series last week and only got a little bit of it, but it's called Last Days Living. Last Days Living. We can be prepared for the last days, and we can have all the mechanics and get the understanding of the reality of what's going on. But because we are in the last days, we must, as the church, as the body of Christ, as true disciples of Jesus Christ, not Christians in name only, we must understand and apply how to live through these days. And it's not only gaining knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's really getting the understanding of the Word of God and God's wisdom into us so that our hearts change, so that we can actually live, I mean really live, in the grace of God through these times. So that's what this series is about. It is most important to the Lord that his sons and daughters know how to live this way. Psalm chapter 5 says, God has surrounded us with favor like a shield. And we are favored. Every one of us that is born again live in the favor of God. We don't really always accept it or understand it or proclaim it, but we have it. That never changes. That includes these last days and how we live through these last days. When I say through, I mean through all the way, right to the end. Right to the end of what are either our lives, our last breath, or the end of before Jesus, when Jesus splits the skies and says, that's it, come on home. Okay? So in kind of the setup of this series, I'm going to refresh a little bit in a minute. I want to give you the background. I want to lay this out right now of how this works. In Joshua chapters 23 and 24, here's the synopsis of those two chapters. Why am I going to the Old Testament? Because the Old Testament are types and shadows of now. They are types and shadows and examples for now. They are examples of how to live and how not to live. They are types and shadows of the church. They are types and shadows of the kingdom. And we need to apply them. In those types and shadows, we see the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. And if we study it out, we see that God never changes. He hasn't changed from what he is today, how he was then. Nothing has changed in him, in his nature, in his character, in his love, and in his grace to us. Israel had come out of Egypt. God delivered them out with great signs and wonders. They were his people. Israel was to be, when they came up to the land of Canaan after all the wandering and all the stuff that they went through and the supply that they received, they learned and understood that God was always going to take care of them. He was going to lead them. And their blessings were in following him and in his covenant with them. And they came to Canaan and they walked into Canaan and God says, here's the land. I have given it to you. It is yours with all the goodness of it, all the richness and all the valuable things and everything. Life is in this land. This is yours. It's a type of God's grace for us after the cross of Jesus Christ. Israel was a type of the kingdom, meant to be a type of the kingdom of God on earth when they came into Canaan. They were to be a picture of the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of the world, a type of the picture of the kingdom of God on this earth to every other nation. They were to be a light to the world around them in that all that darkness. Now, if you understood what the nations were like, I don't know if you've ever studied this out, but the nations that were around that would make the filth and the perversion and the garbage and the lies and the deceit and all the things that are going on today look like nothing. The foulness of what those nations wallowed in would make you, it would make you violently, physically ill. It was so awful, so dark, so contrary to anything godly, righteous, good. So Israel was to be a type of the kingdom of God on earth and a light to the world, a rescue, a beckoning, a refuge, a healing, an answer, and more. God told them when they came into the land of Canaan to wipe everything out, just clean it out, do a house cleaning, clean it out, and get rid of all the foulness and establish my kingdom. Separate yourselves and stay separate from the evil, the actions, the beliefs of the other countries. And do not be lured into what they do or believe. Don't become a part. Don't get involved with it. Don't partake of it. Keep yourself separate. This wasn't a law to command. This was for their protection. It was for their protection. And it was so that the kingdom of God could be established, at least a type, on earth. People could see there was an answer. But they needed to keep themselves separate, not lured in to what the other nations were doing. Well, Israel didn't conquer everybody. They didn't clean house. They really made a mess of things. They went and they started okay, but they didn't end okay. And it hurt them. Joshua prophesied that if you don't make yourselves separate from this evil going on around in this country that God gave you, then they're going to be traps and thorns in your eyes and scourges in your sides. They're going to cause you problems. And then he said, Joshua said to Israel, if you decide to go and serve those other gods, okay, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Right. Now, in that declaration was, Joshua made a point of choosing sides. I'm going to choose the side of righteousness, the side of holiness. I'm going to choose the side of God versus the side of really the Antichrist and his dominion. I'm going to choose the side of the covenant, of holiness, of good. That's what I'm going to choose. And I'm going to continue to choose this. And he told them, stay in the word. Stay in the word of God. Don't leave it. You see, this was war. It always has been. Since Genesis chapter 3, when the devil tempted Adam and Eve, and they lost. Wow. They lost. Since that time, war has been declared against all those who God loves. And God loves everybody. The Lord is saying the same thing to us. About 250 years ago, God gave us a country. And in this country was birthed a country based on biblical principles and based on the Word of God. And for 150 years, things went pretty well. Yeah, there's turmoil and there was strife and there were growing pains and there were problems and issues. But the bottom line, the underpinning of our country has always been based at that time on the reality of the truth of the Word of God. That was it. I mean, generally throughout our whole country. And then about 100 years ago, progressivism began to come into the church, and it began to be taught in the seminaries, and it began to be taught in the churches. And progressivism denies the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It denies, this is the smattering of it all in various areas. It denies the Word of God as the ultimate and absolute truth. It denies that salvation is necessary. It denies the existence of hell. It denies a whole lot of other things. And it says God doesn't matter. That's progressivism. If you check and see how many progressive churches are in our country now, you'll be blown away. And there's more coming. Because the rejection of God began about 100 years ago, our country began to change. And this good land that was ours, that was a type of the kingdom of God on this earth to be established this way, began to change and began to be reformed. Amen. And I think we understand that. The denial and the rejection of God and rejection of His Word always results in this way. This is what happened to Israel. It's happening to us. It's been happening for, like I said, about 100 years now. And it's gotten more. And as time progresses, there will be more. Our country is and will continue to be reformed. Because these are the last days. We're living it out. Living through these times of turmoil. And it's much more than turmoil. It is a spiritual war, a spiritual battle. The war has really already been won. In Colossians 2:15, Jesus, it's declared the understanding that Jesus, the reality, through His death and burial and resurrection, defeated, put down the Antichrist spirit and made him powerless. Held him up as a spectacle to the world through what Jesus did. And so what happens now, and even though the war is won, the battle's going on until the end. And again, the battle is for all of those, the destruction of the lives of all of those that God loves. That's really the point of it all. Would you turn? Go to, click on Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This battle is for the eternal souls and lives of men and women until the very end. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me explain wrestling in the Greek. Wrestling is when, and this is how the Greeks looked at it, when somebody would, in a contest, wrestle until you got somebody down, pinned on their back, which is what happens in wrestling today, but you have your hand on their neck. You can shut off the air. They were completely and totally beaten. That is the ultimate control over somebody's life, isn't it? For we wrestle in that way, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age. This is all the demonic, the Antichrist spirit and what's going on. And against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the battle goes on with the lies that the enemy is perpetrating throughout the world. And we, in our country, in the reformation of our country, have accepted this beginning 100 years ago and more and more and more. How does the enemy do this? Four ways. Enticement, which is you can have whatever you want, whatever way you want. The illusion, you are your own gods, and you decide what's right and wrong. This is all out of Genesis chapter 3. The means that he uses is the conditioning of the mind through the media, technology, and abundant distraction. And the results that he intends are the destruction of all of those who God loves. Now, this is how this whole battle works. Even though the enemy's lost the war, most people don't know that. We're to understand that the war is finished, but the battle goes on because he hasn't quit. His end isn't yet. It's coming. This battle is not going away. Things are going to get better, regardless of who gets elected. Things are going to get better for a time, and this battle will go a little bit underground. This is what's going to happen. And then it's going to come back in a greater show of force through people. We are to understand this. This is spiritually, this battle that we're in now, this demonic battle, you'd have to be so void of discernment to not see this. You'd have to be so void of the Word of God, or so taught, I'm talking about believers or in church, that you'd be blinded to it. Spiritually, this is the new normal. The onslaught that we see and are living in and living through, this is the new spiritual normal. You have to get it settled in your hearts that things are not going to change and it's not going to go away. It's not going to be like we can be complacent or lazy or ignorant anymore. We cannot do that. We cannot live like that. None of us. We can't afford to. Even though we're surrounded by grace like a shield. And we have to toughen up in our faith in God. It is time to toughen up. It is time to get serious about who we are and what we're about. Would you go to 2 Corinthians, please? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Now, this is speaking about what's going on in the world, because we get amazed. I mean, is anybody besides me amazed at I can't believe this. Over and over and over and over. I can't believe this. How can you be so blind? Because, listen to this, verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, he's speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, perishing in this word in the Greek means those who are headed to destruction eternally. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. And do not believe means they will not. They have chosen, for all intents and purposes, they've chosen their side. This is what they want. This is what the Greek means in this. They've chosen their side, and this is where they're going to stay. The God of this world, or this age, has blinded their eyes, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ Jesus, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What Paul is saying by the Holy Spirit is, they're going to have what they want. And that's the way they want. Now, God's not going to stand in their way. Nobody can. But we're going to keep sharing the gospel. And we're going to keep showing what the kingdom of God is like versus the kingdom of darkness. We're going to keep doing this. There are those, this is why we're so amazed, because they want what they want, the way they want. This is the choice. This is free will. This is, I'm my own God, I make my own way, I determine what's right and wrong. And the God of this world, through the enticement, the illusion, and the propaganda, has blinded their eyes for the results that he wants. It's why we keep seeing what we're seeing. And because God has been rejected in a lot of ways in our country, and because the church has been silent for years, we have what we have. But through the gospel and our understanding of living through these last days, we start pushing back the darkness with the light. Okay? Because the establishment of the kingdom of God is in us. And when we're together, is even stronger. So today, the blind are leading the blind. That's what's going on. Rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting the gospel. Let me give you the Greek synopsis. You know that the New Testament is written in Greek and Aramaic, right? Okay. Rejecting Jesus Christ and the gospel makes people blind and stupid.
Amen.
Blind and stupid. Cannot see and have not the wherewithal to figure this out or to see it. That's why we keep seeing it and we are so amazed, because we are not blind. Okay? The Antichrist spirit is trying to set traps continually for all peoples, but for you and me. The Antichrist spirit wants to get us involved in all of this. Wants us involved. If he can't get us involved fully, he'll get us involved partly if we are willing and we don't recognize this. John chapter 8, verse 12, I won't turn there for time's sake. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to his disciples says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In light, he means the truth and righteousness and holiness and purity to the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of eternal life. That's every believer. No matter where you're at in your understanding right now, that's every one of us. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He's speaking to us now. We've got the understanding of the world and why they are where they are. For us, true disciples of Jesus Christ, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk and live your lives as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. I won't go there. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What agreement has Jesus Christ with the devil? None. What agreement does light have with dark? None. He's speaking to believers now, okay? And in Corinth, and in Ephesus, where these letters to the believers at that time were written to, they were a lot like the United States right now. Even worse at times. Don't be caught up. Don't be involved. Don't be committed. Don't give your heart even to certain aspects of what is darkness. Don't participate in your minds. Don't want it. Don't be lured into what they're doing or thinking or saying is right. Separate yourselves. In all of this that Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he's saying, separate yourselves from this completely. Don't be a part. Don't be lured in. We've got a lot of pressure on us to be a part of what's going on today, even in part. This is how abortion got to be law. That's just an example. This is how laws have been created that are anti-Christ, anti-God, unbiblical, unrighteous, ungodly, and a part of bringing in the darkness to, and let's just use our country and the reformation of it. Because, one, believers, and let's say the church, has not stood for righteousness and holiness. We haven't stood for good. When I say stood, we've sat back and we've allowed. I'm talking about me, along with everybody else. We have allowed, without a squawk, darkness to come in and change things. That's what we've done. The Church of Jesus Christ has been pretty much silent for the last 60, 70 years on darkness. And much of the church has taken on a part of what the enemy, the Antichrist spirit, is propagating. I'm born again, but I believe that abortion is still a woman's right and her choice. Come on! We all know people. I believe that homosexual marriage is just because God knew this was coming and it was part of our lives. I believe that this is a part of it. God's given the grace for the victory over everything. But if we want what we want because we want it, or we want what we want because we're our own gods, or we want what we want in our will, we're going to deny these things and we're going to allow this darkness to be a part of our lives. It's darkness. It's a part of what the Antichrist spirit is propagating. And we've all, in some areas of our lives, had or do have some darkness. This has held the church in place because we haven't separated ourselves from the darkness. We haven't been the kingdom of God on this earth, the light for people to see that there's an answer, there's a covenant, there's blessings, there is so much. There's a richness and a joy and a peace and an answer that they're all looking for. But we haven't done that because we've allowed, in some areas, the darkness to be a part of our lives. Whatever we watch on television, whatever we see and participate on social media, whatever we might go to and visit or be a part of. I'm not talking about going and reaching out to unbelievers and meeting them where they're at, not becoming like them, but reaching them where they're at. But I'm talking about allowing the darkness, or what the Antichrist spirit propagates, to be a part of our personal lives and our hearts and our thinking, being okay with it. Because what it's done is it's shut us off from the fullness of the kingdom. It makes us complacent. It gives the enemy room to move more. Because we're not separated. I've been studying holiness. And you know, holiness has gotten a bad rap. And I had such an attitude towards holiness when I first understood the grace of God. Because my whole picture of holiness was people with, men with long sleeve shirts down to their palms, and ladies with long dresses, you know, the bun and the hair bun and the no makeup and all that kind of stuff. And holiness, and people trying to be holy by their actions. That's not what holiness is. Holiness is purity. It's the purity that we live in Him. It's the purity morally. It's the purity in what we think. It's the purity in how we feel and how we love. It's the purity. It's all the aspects of something that is pure. Light is pure. That's the representation. And God has called us into that light and to be separate from the dark for us. And to be really the example of His kingdom to reach those around us, to push back against the darkness, to be a type of the kingdom here and now. God wants people to know Him. He wants them to know His love and eternal life. So He's asked us to lay down the darkness that is in our lives. James chapter 1 verse 12 says it like this. James 1 verse 12. James is pretty blunt. I'm out of time. Can you give me, where's the, Pastor Sean? No, sorry. Can you let them know I'm going to be over about 5 minutes. James chapter 1 verse 12. James says to the church, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. Now, he's speaking about moral filthiness in the Greek. And overflow of wickedness. And you think, wow, what does he mean by that? When he says overflow of wickedness, when we got born again, we carried some of that darkness that we were living in. I was wallowing in that stuff. We carried some of that in with us into the kingdom. And we still have it. It's the remnants of the darkness that we've had. We have not put it away. He said, lay aside. This is a choice. You're really choosing sides here. All of us are, and we do it regularly. Filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness and humility the implanted word into our hearts, which is able to save, deliver, heal, prosper your souls. It is important that we choose the side of righteousness, the side of holiness, for every area of our lives. Does it mean we're going to do some house cleaning? Absolutely. All of us. You see, all my fingers are pointing at me too. Long time ago, we quit watching TV because of all the junk and the garbage and the marketing and the terrible shows. And you know what? We've watched movies, even some of that stuff that's back in the 60s. Movies. Can't believe it. Do I still need some house cleaning? I know I do. I purpose to live in holiness and righteousness to establish the kingdom of God that's in me on this earth. And that is what He calls His church to, us as the body of Christ. So it's important that we lay aside what we have brought in or what we've picked up while we've been in the kingdom that is on the side of the Antichrist and meant for destruction. God's best is for us if we live in the light. That's his best. And that's where the height of the blessings, that's where the height of his favor, that's where the height of all that he has for us is to live there. Our last day's living choice. Romans 16, verse 17, Paul said, this is only part of the scripture, I want you to be wise in what is good and simple or innocent concerning evil. I get drawn into reading the news headers to keep up with the onslaught of the evil going on, to know what to do as a pastor when I'm hearing the Lord about direction. I would like to burn my phone. I'd like to not have to do this. So I'm going to encourage you. Don't do it if you don't have to. But be led in what you read. Romans 13, read verse 12. Let us cast off or throw away hard the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And that is specifically, Paul is speaking about holiness in our lives. Now this isn't performance. This isn't how we dress. This is the attitude of our heart and our desire to live in the holiness and the righteousness that he's called us to. He says, come on, I want you to do this. I'm calling you. Please come this way. This is for you. And this establishes my kingdom. And this is brings the light. And it's only not only the light in you and for you, but it's the light to the world. That's what he's saying. We have to choose continually. This is an onslaught. And it's going to keep going. And there will be more things that will come from the Antichrist spirit that's been permeating our country and this world. We're going to have to choose sides regularly from now on. And righteousness and holiness or the darkness. Would you stand with me? I want to encourage you to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Read it in several versions of the Bible. Read it in several versions and meditate on it. Because it's really where we're supposed to be. It will help you learn how to live this way if you've got any struggles. For those of you that need to go, you are dismissed. And I thank you for allowing me and being so gracious to me to go over. For those of you that would like to make a change today, we can together commit and by the power of God break off those areas that have been darkness in our lives. Anybody want to do that? Come on up. Come on up with me. Because I'm going to do it. Let's break the darkness. And let's live. I mean, let's really live. Because you're going to start making a stand for the kingdom in ways that you hadn't expected. Go ahead and spread out here. Just spread right out. All right, would you close your eyes? Father, I thank you so much for such gentle and willing and gracious hearts. Here we are, your kids. We know that there's been some darkness in our lives that we've either tolerated or we brought in. We've allowed or we've sought out. Jesus, you have given us the victory over darkness. You've conquered the devil. And you are in us. And we are in you. And today, Holy Spirit, right now, right this minute, will you highlight those areas? If we don't know what they are exactly, will you highlight them right now? Put them right in front of us, right in front of our minds. Right now. Right now. Now, everybody, would you say this with me? Lord. I'm sorry. I've held on to this stuff. I've allowed it. I've embraced it. It's hurt me. Jesus has delivered me from this.
Jesus has delivered me from this.
And right now.
Right now.
Today.
I repent.
And I break.
And I break.
The effects.
The effects.
The consequences.
The consequences.
The hold.
The hold.
That I've yoked with.
That I've yoked with.
That's been part of the darkness.
That's been part of the darkness.
In my life.
In my life.
And I reject it.
And I cast it away.
And I cast it away.
And I say to you, darkness.
I say to you, darkness.
You have no more place.
No more place.
In my life.
In my life.
In any area.
In any area.
Anymore.
Anymore.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I choose.
And I choose.
The side of righteousness.
The side of righteousness.
And purity.
And purity.
Godliness.
Godliness.
For the rest of my days.
For the rest of my days.
I have changed.
I have changed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so grateful. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.